Now, the second lie that we get today, similar to Satan's first lies, is that God doesn't want you to suffer. You know, is God really going to do that to you? God actually wants you to prosper. Have you heard that before? It's often called the prosperity gospel. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be blessed. And he wants to bless you materially. You should have a good, full life here. Yet, when I look at the Psalms, when I listen to what many of the psalmists say, I don't see that. In fact, what I see the psalmist saying are things like this. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their ravages, my only life from the lions. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Vindicate the weak and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Okay. That doesn't sound like a life of prosperity. It sounds like many of the psalmists had difficulty. And in their difficulty, they cried out to God. What was said in the Beatitudes that we just read? Blessed are you when you are persecuted. Okay. That is the blessing. There are three things in life we can be certain of. I know if those of you from America might know that Benjamin Franklin said there were two things to be certain of, death and taxes. Okay, and I agree with him, except I add a third, suffering. Death, taxes, and suffering. We will suffer in life, but it is in suffering that we see our own inadequacy and we turn to God. It's in suffering that we grow and that we learn to trust God. And it is in suffering that we become more like Christ. Paul said in Philippians, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He's called the suffering servant. Okay, we are called to be like him, including to be like him in his suffering. And as we are like him in his suffering, James said this. What are we supposed to do when we suffer? We are to consider it all joy. Why? Because it's the testing of our faith and it produces endurance. And the endurance has the result of making us perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Suffering is a blessing. All right, the last lie that Satan gave was that they would be like God and knowing good and evil. And in some respect, he was correct. They became like God. They knew good and evil. However, they did not know good and evil in the same way that God knew good and evil. They knew good and evil experientially. They experienced evil. God has never experienced evil. He knows what evil is because it's what he is not. And so this lie that he gave them caused them to actually, it was the idea of them being equal to God. Not God-like, but having the equality, the ability to create themselves. And really the counter to that is what is found in Psalms here. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. In the world today, right now, especially I see this in America, people are trying to make themselves. They are trying to recreate themselves. They think that their body and their spirit are disconnected. It's a new form of Gnosticism. And they feel like their spirit may be something else, and so they try to change their body to match what their spirit is. What they are doing is they are rejecting the idea that they are made in God's image and that God has made them to reflect himself. They're instead trying to reflect themselves. And in Psalms, it also says, you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. And we are called to be like God in holiness. He says we are to be holy, for he is holy. We are the children of God. We are like him because we are his sons and daughters. And we are to grow like him through our lives. And to be holy is to be set apart. We are to be set apart. We are not to be like the world. We are to pursue righteousness. Okay, so part of what we're going to do today is this. I'm going to ask for audience participation here. Because the lies of the enemy are out there. And we are going to take some time to speak out the character of God. The way you counter a lie is you speak out the truth. Now, I've gone through Psalms in preparation for this speech. I did not read all the Psalms in preparation for this talk. This is not going to be a complete list of all of God's character. I didn't want to spend 6 to 8 hours up here. You didn't want me to spend that much time. But we're going to speak with what I did find, and I'm going to give you some ideas of things to meditate on in the future, if you would like. So, what I'd like to do right now is we're going to go through about, 7 different qualities of God. I'm going to put up a psalm. I would like us to read this psalm together. So here we are. We're going to look first at God as sovereign, and we're going to read Psalm 97, verses 1 through 6. Please read this with me aloud. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Now, the list of psalms that I have here with it, that's not a complete list of the psalms that show God's sovereignty. We can come up with many more. But these are some places to go, maybe psalms you haven't read for a while, to think of who God is. Another characteristic that we see throughout the psalms is that God cares for us. We see that in particular in the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to look at one of my favorite psalms here. This is Psalm 121, the whole psalm. And let's read this one together. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. God cares for us. So important to know. God also protects the righteous and punishes the wicked. And I think we often have a similar view as the psalmists have, which is we look around and it's like, Lord, the wicked are prospering and here the righteous are not. But yet we do know that he is looking out for the righteous. What does he say here? Let's read Psalm 11, 4 through 7. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyes test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Okay, we have that promise. It's not necessarily going to be right now, but he loves us. We will behold his face. Something that we often need to remember is that God hears us and he guides us. You know, in life we have many big decisions to make, and that's often when we turn to the scriptures, God, show me a way, show me a way. Well, I love these two verses here in Psalm 37. Let's read them. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. And this is a wonderful image. It's the image of a father and a child, and or a parent and the child. And the parent is holding the child's hand as they walk together. And the child may stumble and may fall, but the child actually doesn't fall because the father is holding the child's hand. You know, parents, how many of you have worked with your children, helping them to learn to walk and had that experience of holding the hand? They trip, they're going to fall, but you pull them up. Okay, God will do the same with us, that with us in that, and he delights in us. He delights in us learning to walk in faith, learning to trust him. Of course, God is faithful. Big message here in the Psalms. And let's read this one together. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have dwelt in the abode of silence. If I should say, my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Okay, we have to remember God is with us, and we may feel like our foot's going to slip. There are many times he has guided us through difficulty. This is part of a theme in the Psalms as well, is going back. What has the Lord done? Speaking out what the Lord has done for the children of Israel in the past. Why? Because he is faithful. He will come through again. God's ways are above our ways. And this is an amazing thought to have. Out of the Psalms, I'd also refer you to the end of Job. I can't remember the exact chapters, but when God is telling Job, or Job has been asking, God, why are you doing this? I've been righteous. And God basically says, I am God, you're not. I'm in control. You don't know what's going on. My ways are not your ways. Well, in the Psalms, it says something like that as well. Let's read this together. Will the Lord reject forever? And will he never be favorable again? Has his loving kindness ceased forever? Has his promise come to an end forever? Has God forgotten to be gracious, or has he in anger withdrawn his compassion? Then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your strength among the peoples. I really like that part in the middle there where he says, then I said, it is my grief that the right hand of the Most High has changed. So that is so human. That is so relevant to us. Oftentimes we will get down, we get depressed. And what we do is in our grief, in our sorrow, in our difficulties, we forget who God is. And the psalmist recognizes this and says, No, it's my grief that's questioning you. I'm going to remember what you've done in the past. I'm going to remember how great you are. And of course, this is what most of us think of with the Psalms, is that God is worthy of our praise. And I really love this. I would like us, let's read this aloud and loudly and declare the praise of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light. Praise him, highest heavens, and the waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He has also established them forever and ever. He has made a decree which will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and all winged fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and virgins, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven, and he has lifted up a horn for his people. Praise for all his godly ones, even for the sons of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes. And why is it so important that we praise the Lord? It is important. I find a couple of references in Psalms unusual. I'm not sure what to do with them when I came across them, but it told me that something was important. You know, the psalmist says, "What profit is there in my blood if I go to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness?" What is he saying there? What he's saying is, if I'm dead, I can't praise you, which means there is value in his praise. There is value in speaking out praise. In another place, he says, "Will you perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise you? Will your loving kindness be declared in the grave, your faithfulness in Abaddon? Will your wonders be made known in the darkness, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Obvious answer, no, it will not. One of the purposes that God has given us as his people is to speak forth his praises. And in speaking forth his praises, restoring his good name. In the Psalms, he says, "You know, from the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease." That sounds familiar, it should, because Jesus said something just about like it in Matthew. They criticized him, saying, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise for yourself?" That's almost the same. There's a difference, though. In the psalm, it says strength. Jesus uses the word praise. And there's been some debate about that, but what it comes down to, I believe, is that word, from what I've read, that word can be defined two ways, translated two different ways. What does that mean? Praise is strength. There is strength in praise. And there is evidence for this in the Bible. Jehoshaphat, when Israel was battling against Ammon and Moab, what did he do? He got the Levites together. They led a worship band in front of the army. And by the time they got to the battle, what had happened? The Moabites and the Ammonites had destroyed each other. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. He told them to go to the priest. They ran off to go to the priest. One, they were healed. One came back. What did Jesus say? Was there only this Samaritan left to praise God? What was he concerned about? He wanted them praising God. He was concerned that the nine Israelites, the nine chosen people, had not chosen to praise God in the situation. Paul and Silas thrown in prison. They're in the dungeon. They start singing praises. What happens? An earthquake. You know, the chains fall off all the prisoners. They are freed. God shows up. As we are speaking God's praise, we are participating in restoring his name. We are also creating, we are accessing his power. That's right. God inhabits the praises of his people. So, as we look at this, even in our dark circumstances, we need to remember to praise God. What do we see in the Psalms? Well, why are you in despair? He says, hope in God, for I will again praise you. Again, why are you in despair? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise you. That is faith that God is going to come through. God is going to do something wonderful. So I wanted to take some time to put this into practice. First, though, I wanted to ask Sandy to come up and lead us in a song. You may or may not be familiar with this. It's a fairly simple song, but it's a song that resonates in my heart. Because as we're talking about how great God is, I look at my life and think about how often I forget that he's great in these moments, in these difficulties. And so if you know this, please join along.
Sandy, go ahead. It's he wants to do something.
Okay.
Testing. He controls this one. Okay, so I'm going to use this one because it's working for the moment, but be magnified, O Lord. I don't know about you, but we have raised 4 children. We have 9 grandchildren. And yes, there has been times when we have had some really scary things happen in our lives. This beloved daughter, my mom was mentally ill growing up, and I put all my hope and joy and anticipation of having my own first daughter. At 5 weeks, Easter morning, I went to go change her diaper. She was blue. She was lifeless. She looked dead. And the power of God on Easter morning, he chose to give her back to us. But was there suffering in that moment? Yes, great suffering. They told us I'd never get her back, you know? This was when we lived in Taiwan. And wow, the power of God dumbfounded the doctors and what would you say? It just like our hearts soared to have our daughter back. If musicians know, I've made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. Okay? If please come up if you know it. Testing. Is this one you want? I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. Oh, Lord, be magnified.
why don't you go ahead and remain standing, because it is time. We need to praise the Lord. You know, we need to follow Pastor Perry's lead. God is good all the time. And we see this in many ways. You know, the Psalms ends with this wonderful passage saying, declaring how God is good. And what I want you to do right now is I'm going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone, most likely, definitely out of my comfort zone. And I want you to think right now, what can you praise God about? What is in your heart to praise God for? What do you need to see from God? And I am really encouraging you, either take a psalm, just speak out your own voice. I want us to speak out together praises to the Lord. And so we're going to take about a minute of time just to individually, collectively speak out praises to God. If you can think of nothing else, you can read the psalm above. But let's praise the Lord together. Praise you, God, for your faithfulness. Praise the Lord. Lord, we are praising you in your sanctuary. We are praising you because you are so good. We are praising you because of all you have done in our lives, all you have done before us, all that you will do in the future. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that we will go out with your praises in our heart, that each day we will awaken to your praises, each night we will speak your praises as we close the day, that throughout the day we will remember your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, your care for us, your faithfulness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.